Good afternoon, everybody. Welcome to Windows
Strike
on the
Strike them down! Yes.
I've no idea what's going on in the background there, but I don't want to hear that. We had loads of trouble yesterday trying to get on air. Apologies for anyone who had to get through the first 14 minutes of yesterday's show. I tried to do it myself, but it was quite difficult. But it was an area connection that we were suffering from. So I hope you can all hear me out there today, loud and clear. Special guest today is Sandy Adams from the UK. Yesterday we were talking about the global reset. Yes, it's happening at the very moment. And also, it's heading towards Davos in January. But check out our last show at windowsontheworld.net in our live shows section. It's in the live shows archive and also on our YouTube channel. So yesterday, a few troubles with connection, which did leave us sort of hanging around and losing a lot of information. I might go through some of that information again at some point, because it was all about how everything is interconnected with the World Economic Forum, the World Health Organization, and the UN. And we've been covering this for many, many years. And the beneficial crisis of COVID-19 has indeed paved the way for the rapid implementation of, yes, sustainable development. That word that we've been hearing for the past 20 years, and people thought it was a really good idea, but it's actually not. Well, it's not a good idea if you want to remain in any way sovereign from the Borg of the state. It's not what it appears to be. The UN Agenda 2030, this is what we've been talking about. And of course, it came out of Agenda 21 and the Rio Earth Summit of 1992. Previous to that, it was in a document called Our Common Future. And the same old faces keep reappearing. We have Gro Harlem Brundtland, who is now the head of this new Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. And she, of course, wrote the Brundtland Report, which became Our Common Future, which laid out this nightmare that we're in now. But yes, we're going to be talking about all that and more today. Please check out our archive. And if you can help us, go to windowsontheworld.net and help us on Patreon or PayPal. That would be great. And yes, the statements from the World Economic Forum, it says on their website, are supported by voices from all stakeholders in all groups of global society. Well, they just spoke on your behalf, everyone out there. Did you know this? Their 10,000 agents of change are at this moment in cities all over the world. It's called the Great Reset. Yes. Are you global citizens out there? That's what we need to know. If you're not a global citizen, well, maybe you should join our underground club of dissenters at 0800. So not 0800, that's the UK. 800-313-9443. You can join in chat at 2, windowsontheworld.chatandgo.com. That's 2, windowsontheworld.chatandgo.com. Yes, we've been talking about the global distraction over the past week or so, with these template protests, which have, guess what? They've brought in even more draconian legislation into the UK, which effectively means that no more than 6 people can gather in one place at the same time. And they've also made mandatory masks to be worn on all public transport. Well, that's Antifa and Black Lives Matter sorted then, isn't it? No change for them there. But we know that all of this is working towards the same goal. Well, anyone who's listened to our shows would know that, because we've done extensive research over the years. And of course, from the far right to the far left and everything in between, from Black Lives Matter to Extinction Rebellion, from Occupy to Antifa, they are all working inside the system of moods. There's something for everyone. Oh yes, climate change, identity politics, and of course, collective causes. My special guest today is Sandy Adams. And I hope Sandy's there. Are you there, Sandy? Okay, so we have a problem there. Okay, so we'll carry on then. So Sandra is waiting to be connected by the RBN producers, and we'll see how that goes. I think she's on the end of her Skype at the moment. So, yes. We're going to be talking about the Great Reset, which is upon us. A World at Risk. Now, I went into some of this paper yesterday, but it's so important and we lost so much time that I'm going to have to go over a few of those points again because we lost most of it. And this is incredibly important. It came out in September 2019 and it's an annual report on global preparedness for health emergencies by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. A 48-page document, which I have read, and I've been going through it. And what it indicates to me is that the word preparedness is what we should be focusing on, because there is nothing about this crisis that we have been catapulted into that is spontaneous. The only thing that's spontaneous about it is the public finding out about what is really going on. Everything else is planned meticulously. Even these so-called protests and riots, they are all there to push forward the so-called dialectic. So yes, the annual report on global preparedness for health emergencies, the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board, headed by, Dr. Gro Harlem Brundtland, who's the former Prime Minister of Norway and the former Director General of the World Health Organization. Now, the reason I'm going to talk about this paper is because it accurately outlines everything that has happened over the past few months. As I said, it was actually written in September 2019. The co-author is Mr. Elaj Alsay, who is actually the Secretary General of the International Federation of Red Cross and Red Crescent Societies. And of course, you may be surprised or not surprised to know that Dr. Anthony Fauci is also there as well. He is the director of the Wellcome Trust, the UK director of the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases, of course, as well. And let's have a look now at other people involved in this. The Independent Oversight Advisory Committee for the World Health Organization, the Health Emergencies Programme, the Johns Hopkins University, and University of Oxford and Chatham House, Wellcome Trust, of course, the World Bank Group, and the World Health Organization. Yes, it states that in this paper, I'm going to summarize it, I'm not going to bore you with the whole thing, but it states that the Secretary General of the United Nations has convened a high-level dialogue with health, security, and foreign affairs officials to determine how the world can address the threat of a lethal respiratory pathogen pandemic, as well as for managing preparedness for disease outbreaks in complex, insecure contexts. And it says in the first few pages of this document that the chances of a global pandemic are growing. It carries on, while scientific and technological developments provide new tools that advance public health, including, it says here, safely assessing medical countermeasures, they are also allowing for disease-causing microorganisms to be engineered or recreated in laboratories. Now, anyone out there who's telling me that this is just speculation, well, I've got some seaside property in Switzerland that the person may want to purchase, because this is absolutely incredible when you look into it. It says a deliberate release would complicate outbreak response. In addition to the need to decide how to counter the pathogen, security measures would come into play, limiting information sharing, and get this, fermenting social divisions. Fermenting social divisions? Have we seen any of that lately? I think we have, haven't we? It says, taken together, naturally occurring accidental or deliberate events caused by a high-impact respiratory pathogen pose global, catastrophic biological risks. Trust in institutions is eroding, it says. Well, they got something right. Trust in institutions is eroding. As a side issue here, the BBC are getting rid of many of their staff. Thousands of them are going to take voluntary redundancy because their popularity is waning so much. And I would like to think it's because of their absolutely disgraceful news output. But yes, trust in institutions is eroding. Well, that's positive. Governments, scientists, the media, public health, health systems, and health workers in many countries are facing a breakdown in public trust that is threatening their ability to function effectively. The situation is exacerbated by misinformation that can hinder disease control communicated quickly and widely via social media. Well, this is interesting, isn't it? Because it's via social media that a lot of the actual real information has been getting out. And of course, any scientist that goes up against this is obviously marginalized by the absolutely pathetic mainstream media. And social media has become a bit of a weapon. I actually find it quite useful because the people who I have on friends lists on social media, like Facebook, they send me so much interesting material that it would take me a long time to research this stuff otherwise. But yes, let's carry on with this. It says, and this is a kicker for you, a universal influenza vaccine is effective and routinely used to protect the global population. In 2017, Germany, India, Japan, Norway, the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, the Wellcome Trust, and yes, the World Economic Forum founded the Coalition for Epidemic Preparedness Innovations to facilitate focused support for vaccine development to combat major health epidemics and pandemic threats. Now, this is interesting because there is not one person in the UK government who is out there on a public platform who has not got connections to Big Pharma or the development of vaccines, Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, or some kind of biometric company. I've been looking at this for weeks and weeks on end, and the whole point about it to me is that the general public are still really not getting a lot of this stuff, and it's extremely frustrating because you give them information such as this document and they don't bother to read it. But the idea in the forthcoming weeks on this show is that I get people on who can actually help and bring people together for some positive outcomes. Because I think now what needs to happen is that we build new societies. We need to stay outside of this. That was my original idea. When I started doing Windows on the World, it was a focused, solutions-based kind of idea because it came out of solutions. So, yes, okay. So, Sandy, if you're listening, you have to accept the invitation to get on the show. Okay. So, I think that's a bit of a problem at the moment. We might get her on in the break. But, yes, let's go back into this document. The tools and systems needed to respond effectively to a fast-moving and lethal respiratory pathogen are in place. A universal influenza vaccine is effective and routinely used to protect the global population. Now, this is the ultimate aim of these people, that a universal influenza vaccine is effective and routinely used to protect the global population. One of the other objectives is, there is no ambiguity or delay in the United Nations system-wide response to a global health emergency. There are clear rules, roles, and responsibilities, along with a designated leader empowered with the authority to coordinate across the system and experience in leading a global response through regular simulations or actual events. So there you go. That was the ultimate aim, to have a designated leader empowered with the authority. Well, a designated leader can be any useful idiot, can't it? It happens to be Ted Ross at the World Health Organization, really, at the moment. Interestingly, though, when I was reading about the run-up to this document, they were actually saying that there needs to be more kind of complicity between the World Health Organization and the UN. Well, they are both agencies. The agencies of the World Health Organization and the UN work together. And the World Health Organization are an agency of the United Nations. Now, there's something very important going on here. Let's have a look at the UN Charter of 1947, because when we look at who the specialized agencies of the United Nations are, they are numerous, including the International Monetary Fund and the World Bank, amongst many others, the Universal Postal Union. I actually read them all out on yesterday's show, but of course, the first 15 minutes were lost due to area connection problems. I'm just going to read you this. This is from the UN Charter of 1947. If you haven't heard this before and you thought the UN was some kind of benign organization, well, you might want to think again, because basically what this section of their charter clearly states is that the UN is above all international law. The UN Charter of 1947 says the UN and its agencies, properties and assets, wherever located and by whomsoever held, are immune from every form of legal process, search, requisition, confiscation, and from any form of interference, whether by executive, administrative, judicial, or legislative action. Now, that means effectively that they are above all international law. They can freely move funds, gold, or currency between countries. They will be immune from taxation. Yep, they're completely immune from all forms of taxation. And get this, the UN are immune from prosecution. But wait for it. They can themselves bring legal proceedings. Now, bearing that in mind, I'm looking at the specialized agencies of the UN, including the IMF and the World Bank, and of course, the World Health Organization. We have to actually consider what we're dealing with here. When the UN go into so-called third world countries, three things happen. Rape goes up, people trafficking goes up, and corruption goes up. And these are just facts, and you can look at them. The UN try and hide all this. I was in Nepal after the earthquakes in 2016. It was crawling with the United Nations. They are in everywhere. The NGOs which filter down from this organization are in their hundreds and thousands, possibly hundreds of thousands. Because when you look at the connections from the days of sustainable development, 1992, the Earth Summit, the idea was that these NGOs would form another type of governance. In other words, it's an invisible, unstructured governance. And what you see in these places which are being empowered through diversity is a general resistance from the people to the interference in their own affairs. And what we're dealing with here, in actual fact, is a mercenary army. The UN are a mercenary army because they have no allegiance to the countries which they are in. So all of this has to be taken into consideration when we look at the bigger picture of what we're talking about here, because these things are incredibly important. So yes, that's a little bit about that document. Now, it's called A World at Risk, the annual report on global preparedness for health emergencies by the Global Preparedness Monitoring Board. Check it out. It's well worth a look because it accurately predicts what is going on at the moment. I was actually quite shocked with some of the things it said in there. And when you put it into context and put it out as a template over what we've got now, then it's absolutely clear that they are working to this template. There's no doubt about it, absolutely none. It's quite incredible. It says, basically, yes, let's get into a few more of the details. It says that all countries have reached full compliance with the IHR 2005 agreement. This is one of their objectives, that they've completed voluntary external or other independent assessments and are objectively monitored by the World Health Organization on a regular basis to ensure continued improvement in preparedness. Well, there you go. I mean, this is what they are seeking, and this is what they're finding. We're talking about the fourth industrial revolution. Hopefully, I'll be back after the break with Sandy Adams. This is Mark Windows.
This is too good to be true, except this time it is real. 100%. No joke. How about a $25,000 membership to Front Sight Firearms Training Facility as a thank you bonus for a one-time donation to RBN of only $500? It is a Commander Lifetime membership with no yearly fees or dues. The training is free for the rest of your life with over 50 different classes. Then leave it to your designated beneficiary. You provide the approved firearm, holster, ammo, eye, and ear protection. Many features and bonuses are included, more than you would ever expect or believe. This is the ultimate graduation present, wedding gift, etc., etc. See the details. Go to RBN's webpage and frontsite.com to make it happen. You will hear this offer only on this radio network. Help keep RBN alive. Tell 5.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. Nikki, great product. Have to try it for a few months to see results. After taking Extendovite for about 6 months, I have noticed improvement on the numbness of my hands and wrists from carpal tunnel. I will continue to buy the product. Ken Peaks, 5 out of 5 stars. Works as advertised. This formula is very powerful. Be careful to follow directions. I am feeling much better. My heart rate and blood pressure has stabilized and my lower edema has reduced. Lower leg pain due to blood clots has disappeared. Thank you. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we have been building our online store. Well, we have been focusing on bringing you the best talk show host in the country. Here at Republic Broadcasting Network, we also want our listeners to have products they can use every day and in times of emergency. We have added new products each week to our store. Your support of this network, plus products at the best prices, is a win-win situation. Check out our new store. Go to our website, republicbroadcasting.org, and click on the online store located at the top of our website. Together, we can continue to grow RBN and help our listeners prepare for the future. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and click on our online store or call us.
800-724-2719, extension 3. 800-724-2719, extension 3.
Going to connect our guest today. Seems like there's always something going wrong at the moment. Yeah, we had a few technical issues yesterday, to say the least. One of the problems that I have is that living off grid and being out of the way can be a bit problematic, because sometimes the connection can go a little bit wobbly. If you want to call in, please do. It's 800-313-9443. And yes, interestingly, over the past few days, I've been looking at the World Economic Forum website. I've been checking out all of the stuff about the global reset, the fourth industrial revolution. And there's still people out there that think the fourth industrial revolution is a really good idea, being monitored in real time through techno slavery. Well, this is what the Great Reset is all about. The Great Reset. Yes, this, we're hearing a lot about the Great Reset. So maybe we should go into that. Yes, did you know about the Great Reset? I'm sure many of you do. The beneficial crisis of COVID-19 has paved the way for the rapid implementation of sustainable development. Yes, the UN Agenda 2030, and of course, the fourth industrial revolution. Now, we did report in our Sunday show, and do listen to that, that Prince Charles was actually there. It's actually someone who looks like Prince Charles. I'm not sure whether it actually is him, because he seems to have changed in some ways. His features seem to have looked exactly the same, but something's happened to him, unless he's actually developed some kind of illness. It's very strange. But the royals, for anyone out there who doesn't know, are being completely marginalised in the UK, and they are effectively being disappeared from public view. It's actually been stated that the Queen will not now be seen until after the COVID crisis is over. Well, when will that be? It could be quite a long time, couldn't it? But yes, Prince Charles was there about this Great Reset, which was the economic forum, the World Economic Forum. And of course, this is all about the big meeting in Davos in January, where they're going to reset the global economy. Yes. Also present was International Monetary Fund Chief Kristalina Georgieva and BBC Executive Bernard Looney. no, that is his real name, Bernard Looney, BP chief executive, among those participating in the online launch of the Great Reset. It says here, the stakeholders included HRH, the Prince of Wales. Now, this was interesting, actually. I must get back to him, because all this that he was saying were things like sustainability and coming out with these sort of word salads of the UN. And we reported that on last Sunday's show in quite some detail. But, of course, the World Economic Forum was started in 1975 by Professor Charles Schwab. And they are very, very connected into just about every corporate entity in the world. They are the interface between this unstructured global governance and the corporate sector. That's effectively what they are. Now, other participants included Victoria Alonso Perez, founder and chief executive officer of ChipSafe for Uruguay, young global leader, it says it. Oh, we've got a lot of those, haven't we? The young global leaders. These are the useful idiots that are mentored through training programs in sustainable development. This is Caroline Anstey, president and chief executive officer of PACT. AJS Banger, chief executive officer of MasterCard. Sean Burrow, general secretary, International Trade Union Confederation. Yes, of course, Ma Jun, the chairman of the Green Finance Committee. It goes on and on and on. Atlantic Ventures are involved. President of Microsoft, Bradford L. Smith. Nick Stern, chair of the Grantham Research Institute on Climate Change and the Environment. Now, the Grantham Institute is interesting because they push sustainable development in the UK, and they are right behind every report of the Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change, the IPCC, who we have called out so many times. And remember that climate change is the driver, the main driver behind what's going on. The COVID-19 crisis is an acceleration. It's an acceleration driver to speed things up. But basically, Charles Schwab, the head of the World Economic Forum, said we need to change our mindsets. Business would contribute to environmentally healthy social cohesion and good governance. It's all corporate speak, you see. There would be a task force which is going to assemble in Davos next January. And they're going to mobilise their 10,000 global shapers in cities all over the world to organise a twin summit to interact continuously with those in Davos to ensure, says Charles Schwab, that we do not fall back to old recipes. Now, this is a kind of analogy for saying that the new normal is going to be like nothing you've experienced before. This is, in effect, the driver of the fourth industrial revolution. What is the alternative, says Mr. Schwab? He says, instead of being cynical or critical, who we get on board, we need to integrate everyone in the world. Now, this is the big communitarian ideal, isn't it? No one will be left behind. Everybody's on board. Everybody's with the program. You're either with us or you're with the terrorists. Demonize everything outside the accepted narrative of public opinion. That's really what this stuff's all about. It's kind of incredible, because what we see now is this template. And what I don't get about this is that when you explain the template to the public, and I was doing this on a radio show the other night, the way that this, the idea of the change agent, of sustainable development, of this new paradigm, which has been inflicted on everybody, that these people, when they're pointed out and what they're doing and the lies they tell and the limited vocabulary that they use to implement these strategies, is so easy to get over to people. Once they can grasp a template, they can grasp the whole of this program all over the world. They still fail to do it. I find this is a huge problem, because the public thinks small and the globalists think big. So this is a major problem, because when I was doing my talks, I found that this was a big stumbling block. They can't get their heads around it, a lot of people, that they're talking about something that is absolutely so big in scale that it's way beyond their capacity to understand, because they think small. And as I said, these people just think big. It's really nothing. There's nothing more to it than that. But what we've got here is actually a global mafia. The world has been captured by a global mafia. That's basically all that it is. It says, here is the summary. The Great Reset will be the theme of a unique twin summit in January 2021, convened by the World Economic Forum. The Great Reset is a commitment to jointly and urgently build the foundations of our economic and social system for a more fair, resilient, and sustainable future. It says it requires a new social contract centered on human dignity. Oh, that's all right then. Nothing to worry about then, as long as our human dignity is intact. But what does that actually entail? Does that mean social justice, social equity, the common good, the public interest? Is that what it means? Because all of these phrases have been usurped and taken over. These phrases are absolutely the opposite of what people think they mean. And this is another problem I find, that because I've been involved in the court system over the years, and I've been able to kind of decode what the common good means in a court and the public interest, that I can see this being played out. And again, it's so difficult to explain it, but what we try and do in these shows is keep it to a very simple template. In other words, I say that it's basically anything outside the accepted corridor of opinion. This is something that most people would understand. Well, yeah, when I said this, they didn't listen. That's because if you go to a council meeting and you're not talking their language, they won't hear you, because everything has to be vibrant, diverse, and sustainable. These people have a word salad that's implanted into them, and Prince Charles was full of his word salad. I'll try and find it somewhere, actually, since we can't get Sandy on. But it's absolutely so simple what these templates are doing. And it doesn't matter whether it's a protest. It doesn't matter whether it's a Black Lives Matter, Antifa, or Extinction Rebellion, this clown show we had in the UK. And, of course, it's global. But they're all funded by the same organisations. So they all work to a very hierarchical structure. And they actually call it a holocracy, right? A holocracy. Well, a holocracy means that there's no leaders. But in actual fact, it's more structured than most corporations, the way that these template organizations, which are controlling the narrative of public opinion, actually work. And I think I've talked about this before, but when I saw this happening in Occupy with the facilitators, the co-facilitators, the Delphi technique, which means steering people into the intended outcome, then it all became absolutely transparently clear how it worked. And I think the idea of my shows, when we're talking about this stuff, is to get this over and kind of reinforce the point. I have been getting a bit frustrated recently because people that I thought knew better will not actually be able to grasp it. They think that there's some kind of general corruption going on. And no, it's not general corruption. It's institutionalized and institutionally supported lying, basically. So I think that with the whole idea of the sustainable development thing, if you can say to people, well, it's basically a global mafia that run the world, and it's all done really by billionaires who bought governments, it's really quite as simple as that. But basically, let's get back to what the Great Reset is about, which I think this is very important to cover. It requires a new social contract centered on human dignity, social justice, and where societal progress does not fall behind economic development. So, bearing in mind that the duty of every global citizen is to join in or to be demonized, this social contract is actually a technocratic dictatorship. So everything that you do is going to be monitored in real time. This is why it's so important now for as many people who are aware of this to get off grid. Because if there's a big movement of people that do that, and they can do it independently, I don't have to be part of some big commune or anything like that, but the living off grid thing, I know they're trying to make it really difficult, but I think especially in America, it's probably easier in some parts than other. I know California is particularly problematic with the rewilding the corridors and all the rest of it. I mean, I was really shocked when I found out what was going on there, because when I saw the Wildlands Project, I couldn't believe it. And then I found out that it was exactly the same in the UK. So there's no real difference in this template. It is the same everywhere. Yes, they want a new social contract. This is what's going to happen in January, the new social contract, to be in harmony with nature. Isn't it something like that it says on those, you know, those Georgia Guidestones? If you haven't heard of the Georgia Guidestones, they were put up by someone called R.C. Christian. Of course, R.C. Christian is the Rosicrucian, Christian Rosencrantz, but this was ambiguous. They weren't saying it was Christian Rosencrantz, because Christian Rosencrantz was a fictional entity anyway. So this fictional entity signed them, and they said they wanted 500 million people to be the world population, the maximum, all in harmony with nature. So that's quite creepy to start with, isn't it, when they say that at the beginning? It says, most people say, what's wrong with being in harmony with nature? I used to get this all the time, you know. People used to say to me, what's wrong with being sustainable? Well, I said, well, nothing really. There's nothing wrong with being sustainable, but it's not the sort of sustainability that they're talking about. I don't want technocrats running every part of my life for me. Oh, yes, and the other thing that they're getting onto here, apart from having a new social contract, is to be in harmony with nature, harnessing science and technology. Oh, yes, the AI smart control grid. But that's running alongside zero carbon emissions. Yes, sustainable recovery based on UN Agenda 2030 and the Paris Agreement. That's what they say here. Now, Prince Charles, this is interesting. Prince Charles said, oh, we did not have the answer or the mechanisms to deal with this before. The dangers of climate change surpass COVID-19. In other words, he's been given a script to read out, and that was blatantly obvious. So the dangers of climate change surpass COVID-19 because the climate change is the main driver. COVID-19 is just an accelerant, and what an accelerant it's been, hasn't it? All our rights gone in the last 2 months. Mandatory mask wearing on London Underground and public transport in the UK and in British airspace, actually, yes, mandated through government legislation. How did they know everyone was going to have to wear masks when the World Health Organization was saying that we didn't have to wear them? Kind of interesting. Yes, it's almost like it was all planned. Yes, I'm just having to type something into the chat here. Yes, just done that now, I hope. Yes. So, yeah, they want to restore balance and biodiversity. They want to restore balance and biodiversity. This is, of course, the United Nations Agenda 21 plans, basically to get people off the land. That's what they mean here. Restoring biodiversity. Well, look at the biodiversity assessment of 1995, 1,000-odd pages. And the thing about these documents is, these documents that preceded the set, is that they're incredibly long and they're very, very word salad. And you get the odd sprinkling of very fascinating and pointed information, which tells you what they're going to do. But yes, Prince Charles said, the planet is a patient, he said. Yeah. And says, the planet is a patient and we are damaging her immune system. The planet is a patient and we are damaging her immune system. He spoke of unity, diversity, and of course, wait for it, interdependence. Well, this is the implanted vocabulary of globalist technocrats, isn't it? He said we need a circular bioeconomy. We need to give back to nature what we take from her. Now, this is the United Nations Agenda 21 plan, which means that every human action basically has to be paid for. If you knock down a blade of grass, that blade of grass has to be put back. Now, this is, of course, absurdity, and it's nothing to do with real sustainability, because when you get into the real ecology of what this is about, then they're not interested in that, because it's about big corporations being able to pollute everything. But he also talked about redesigning systems and pathways programmed with a globalist word salad of disingenuous phrases, I may add, and statements using language as a tool of deception. Is basically, I couldn't believe what he was saying. I'm actually reading you the quotes because I wrote it down. He talked of nature-based solutions. But of course, the globalist agenda has nothing to do with solutions or nature. And he talked about the end of fossil fuels, basically, which just means rationing an overpriced energy. And that's what they're talking about with this COVID-19 agenda, as if because of the shutdown of all society, that we can keep this level of so-called emissions, you know, carbon emissions, greenhouse gases, down to that level, which would mean that everyone stays at home, doesn't go out, doesn't drive a car, doesn't do anything, which is really what this agenda is all about. But yes, of course, he even mentioned sustainable employment, a transition to net zero carbon emissions. Yes, of course, the depopulation control and starvation when suitable, of course. The cliches just never stopped rolling. It was incredible. Green energy, the regeneration of nature, basically closing off more and more land, privatizing the global commons. That was what the Wild 11 conference was about this year in Jaipur. But they actually had to abandon it. They didn't even do most of it online. But they were talking about 50% of the world's ocean and land basically going into private ownership. Now, if you tell people that, they will not believe you. They go, they couldn't privatize the seas. Well, guess what? Well, someone as honorable as Ghislaine Maxwell was doing this in 2014 at the UN. And of course, she's an absolute expert on the management of biodiversity, isn't she? Well, I'll leave that one for you to think about. But basically, this is, of course, the big society, the global community. We all have a duty to facilitate our own techno-slavery and early demise for the greater good or for the common purpose. I'm going to see if Sandy's here now. Are you there, Sandy?
I am, finally. Yes.
Yeah, finally.
Yes. I got through.
You got through? Well, that's good. And I think that we've got a fairly stable connection here today. I think I've been interrupted here over the past couple of days. Oh. And the actual reception has been appalling, and even trying to get people on the phone. One of the disadvantages of living out in the middle of nowhere, I did have a very nice email from someone today, actually, who's a filmmaker, who said, I'd like to help you, but I'm actually suffering so much with what's going on and the state of the public and the state of everything that I don't feel I can even cope with it at the moment. I'm sure there's plenty of people out there like that. But personally, I'm kind of living in the moment. I'm finding that the problem is other people. It's not myself. Are you finding that, Sandy?
Yes. And I am increasingly living in the moment because we have to right now, because that's nothing right. is, you know, it's all so unstable. And if you try and plan things, you're going to fail. And because nothing is everything's changing every day. The information that's coming out, the lies, the whatever, and you can't plan anything. You just have to take every day as it comes.
Well, actually, I used to live my life like that. I was a sort of eternal teenager.
And
it's just that I get more injuries now because I still think I'm 21. I throw myself at things, and often I find that bits of me don't work as fast as they used to, you know. But I made up for it yesterday. I scaled the north face of a kind of escarpment, which is very, very steep. It's more than one in four. It ain't Mount Everest, but it's pretty dangerous. And I was quite pleased. And funnily enough, today I felt so much better, you know, because sitting around talking to people on the internet, I find it's not very good for your constitution, is it, Sandy? You know, but we have to get this information out.
The connection with nature is very important, which is what they're trying to deprive us of. It's so important to have that connection with nature because it restores you. And this is what we're battling at the moment, this whole financialising of nature and separating humanity from nature is really what we've got to fight, because it does restore you. And they know that. They know that.
Well, that's really what I've just been outlining in the first three quarters of the show, which I hoped you were going to be joining me for. But it doesn't matter. We've got Friday, haven't we? We're doing Friday.
We've got Friday. Yeah.
We've always got Friday. Yes, because everyone out there, what we're trying to do here, it may not be that noticeable today or for the first 15 minutes of yesterday's show when I couldn't be heard. But we are trying to bring people on here who have solutions and are working towards something. That's why I had Erkan Ali on yesterday, because he's a sort of mentor for businesses, really. And when I first sort of had the idea of having someone like him on, I wasn't sure, because I thought, well, I don't want to make it like one of these sort of self-empowerment type things, you know, because that is that's as counterproductive as anything else, if you ask me. What we want is sort of focused solutions. And what he's saying is that small businesses and people who get this have to work together. So in other words, they have to form a society outside the society. And anyone, any number of people can become a society. And this is what this thing's against, isn't it? Because what it's all about is making everyone part of this globalist vision. And of course, the whole communitarian agenda is making them comply with that. And this is very apparent, isn't it, with people who are defending their own slavery.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, we've got this horrible situation where, I mean, it was interesting. I was looking at the SAGE Behavioural Subcommittee's quote this week, which is the SPIB. And they're part of the cabinet, the UK Cabinet Office, the whole controlling of the narrative, right? And they've got a SAGE Behavioural Subcommittee about how the nation are behaving. And they said, a substantial number of people still do not feel sufficiently personally threatened. The perceived level of personal threat needs to be increased among those who are complacent, using hard-hitting emotional messaging. And then they go on to say, social disapproval from one's own community can play an important role in preventing antisocial behaviour or discouraging failure to enact pro-social behaviour. So it's all a mind control exercise and using emotional messaging. And this is why people are complying, because they're scared they're being snitched on or whatever. And we've just got this whole thing which we've got to break somehow. It's about getting the message over to people that this is a huge con, you know, huge con.
Well, it's more than a con. It's a plan, isn't it? I mean, they've got the behavioural change unit. They have a behavioural change unit in the government. And when you hear this through your local council, it's really shocking. We have this awful change agent in the UK called Clyde Lokes, and he appeared in my local area in North London about 15 years ago. And I thought, I wonder where he came from. Parachuted into position for the Sustainable Development Agenda. And I've been tracking this for a very long time. And these people like him, they talk of behavioural change all the time. They are trying to impose this global template onto everybody. And they do it through a very limited word salad. And when they're confronted by the public, they have no argument. This person in question I was just talking about, when the locals were so irate about all of their roads being closed, about the businesses suffering, about no consultation, but the illusion of participation, he then turned away from them and started talking to an 8-year-old child. And I showed that as part of the behavioural change type psychology that these people impose. They are not even real people. They're just like, they can't be natural. They can't be honest. And this is the whole point. The inner integrity of these people has been removed, if it was ever there in the first place, hasn't it?
Well, interestingly, what Clive Lokes was trying to bring in where you were is Waltham Forest, wasn't it? The same thing has happened on the back of COVID. Now, there's so much stuff being rolled out under this COVID thing, which is nothing to do with COVID. And what they're doing, basically, is they closed off the whole of my town. They opened the shops up, and the same day, they closed the town off to cars. And it's completely killed the trade. There's no, it's like a ghost town. It's horrible. And they did it without consultation, because for years they've been trying to get it through under you know, sort of a climate change, you know, the air pollution. And of course, nobody, they had great opposition against it. And this week they've closed the whole town off without consultation, saying they need it for social distancing. And this is what we're finding. It's all been a big plan. It's a huge plan. And it's promoting the sustainable development goals. Everything literally is tied up with this so-called virus thing. The thing is that it really is. It's a Trojan horse for the fourth industrial complex, you know, and the fourth industrial revolution that we're talking about. I mean, I've been looking at the fourth industrial revolution's website, UK. And it is really interesting, you know, what they've actually got a website. You know, people think it's a conspiracy theory, but you know, they've got some industrial strategy, you know, industrial strategy grand challenges. We will put the UK at the forefront of the artificial intelligence and data revolution. We will maximize the advantages for UK industry on the shift to clean growth. You know, we know what this is about. It's climate change. We will become a world leader in shaping the future of mobility. That means not being mobile, I guess. We will harness the power of innovation to meet the needs of an aging society. Yeah, we'll kill them off because that's what we've done. You know, we've locked the hospitals off so that old people can't actually have access to care. Nobody can get access to care at the moment. You know, and they're talking about, you know, regulatory models, you know, it's going to be based on regulation, understanding regulation. Regulation describes the rules that are set out in legislation and processes used to monitor and enforce them. It's about enforcing regulation. It's just going to be more and more regulation. And the thing is that, you know, this has been rolled out. If you, you know, when you look at what they're doing, this whole industrial, fourth industrial revolution, they've brought it into education as well. There's a whole section of it that is, it's all about digitizing education and having, you know, changing the future of schools with 5G. And we know that's not good for children. And, you know, it's the whole blockchain thing will be coming in. This is all part of the fourth industrial revolution, where we've got the whole blockchain technology all linked up, really, with our with our data. You know, it's about, really, data is the new currency. It's the new oil, and humans become capital. And it's all about sort of really using that the data and the blockchain technology in between us, so that what we do is we've got blockchain technology, and then we've got, you know, behavior. And if you don't comply to that particular behavior, you don't access the facilities. And that's what we're looking at. You know, if you don't go for the vaccine, you won't get universal basic income. And this is all what it's about. You know, it's almost like a new imperialism, because they go on and on this on the website, you know, the WEF website, about, you know, a more equitable utopian society. Well, actually, society has never been equitable. It's never been utopian, because the imperialists and those that deem themselves in charge have always created perpetual war. And this, at the moment, they're creating this as though it's going to be any different. Why would it be any different with the globalists in charge? Because they're the new imperialists. And,
well, it's the same people, Sandy. Exactly. We've done so many shows on this. If you go back into the archive at RBN, or go to winnersontheworld.net and have a look in our archive, I've covered social engineering for the past 100 years. I mean, obviously it goes further back than that. But when you look at things like the Tavistock Institute of Human Relations and where the psychological society really came from, it came out of the Tavistock Institute. It came out of the British Psychological Association. Of course, the American Psychological Association goes down in NGOs. I mean, the whole thing is that this behavioural nudging and behavioural science agenda has been going on for well over 100 years. And that was the model. And there always has to be a war. I mean, that's the whole point, that there has to be an enemy. If it's not a tangible enemy, then there has to be an invisible enemy. And the invisible enemy at the moment is COVID-19. There always has to be an enemy. It's a very simple concept. But the public don't, they repeat the process over and over again, but never seem to grasp the way that things really work. And most people have no idea how things really work, but they're convinced, they're absolutely convinced, because they've watched a bit of television, that they know. And this is the problem, really, that I find, because they'll reiterate things to you that blatantly aren't true.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's funny, I was looking on that on the WEF website, and you know, they've got all these different sections, you know, how to combat racism and bring in LGBTQ and all this sort of thing. And there was the whole climate change thing, and they had a picture of a polar bear, You know, it's the same old rolled out sort of nonsense about, you know, we've got to save the environment. You know, we know that polar bears are not endangered anymore. In fact, they're becoming a bit of a nuisance. You know, they're having to be hunted now because there's too many of them, and they're thriving very well, you know, in those snowy places where they live. And, you know, the thing is that this is all such propaganda. And it's about breaking through that and understanding that these people are, that they're the new imperialists. They stole our labour for hundreds of years. They've stole the human, you know, the human soul, if you like, for hundreds of years. We've all been slaves. We've all, you know, been cannon fodder over the centuries. And this is not going to be any different. They're promising this utopia. They are the new imperialists, and they don't have our interests at heart. And it's breaking that perception that they do, because if you look at their websites, people keep saying to me, oh, but the new Green Deal, it's all going to be wonderful. You know, we're going to get rid of capitalism. Well, you know, you can look at the United Nations website, and it's almost hysterically funny, if it wasn't so tragic, that they're advocating capitalism, not capitalism, with this new sort of utopian, equitable, everybody the same, nobody, everybody's equal, kind of communitarianism, which, you know, will not end in a good way. We know that, but people don't. People see it and they think, yeah, I'll have a bit of that. I'll have, you know, universal basic income. So, you know, but they don't know what that comes with. It comes with horrible conditions of control. And it is all about, If you become a good global citizen and adhere to this, and this, our regulations, we will keep you on a basic universal income, but you've got to be good. It's just like the Chinese, you know, the Chinese system, social credit system. And, you know, with the blockchain is going to really come in. It will all be on the blockchain ledger. You know, everything will be on that blockchain ledger. You know,
that's what they've done in China, isn't it? Yeah.
In action, exactly. That's been rolled out in China. It's being rolled out at the moment in, I think it's, what's the other place? It's not Brazil. Somewhere in South America, they've rolled it out as well. I thought I'd written it down. But anyway.
Is it Venezuela?
It wasn't Venezuela. Okay. It was somewhere else in, I think it was Bolivia.
Quite hard to keep up with this stuff at the moment because there's so much stuff coming in. I think that's it for the show. Well, back tomorrow to Climate Mentees. We're going to be talking about solutions within the present dichotomy. I'm Mark Windows. Thanks to Sandy. I'll be back tomorrow, same time. Windows.net. Help us out. PayPal. You can. You're okay. See you.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cybercrimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.